This morning we'll be in Matthew. We've been in Matthew for 2 years or so, and we're still in Matthew. And last week, Sunday, Anita, our worship team leader, asked me, "What are you preaching?" I said, "Matthew." And she said, "Which verses? 29 to 39, I said. She said, "Oh, that's a lot of verses." Yeah, that's like 10 sermons for Andrew. So we have to send him to Zambia to get anything done. So if you would want to turn to Matthew 15, 29 to 39 with me, and I think it's actually on the PowerPoint. For whatever reason, I had messed it up putting it on the thing, whatever that stick thing, and now it's up here, so see. Anyways, this is what Matthew 15, 29 to 39 says. Jesus went up from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and he sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put him at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I'm unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great of a crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven and a few small fish." And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up seven baskets full of broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Megiddo. The reading of God's word. This is the second miraculous feeding in a short period. If you remember back in Matthew 14, 13 to 21, Jesus feeds 5,000 men, plus women and children, to a mainly Jewish gathering. When he is done there, Jesus has an interesting exchange with the Pharisees regarding traditions, commandments, and what defiles a person. Then, Jesus withdraws and heads to a Gentile district of Tyre and Sidon. And there, as we saw last week, he heals a Canaanite woman's daughter. He then travels to the region of the Decapolis, which we can see in Mark 7:31. The Decapolis means a league of 10 cities. They were Greek cities, and they were on the southeast of the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus has traveled all the way from Sidon, which is about 50 miles from where he was last teaching, and now he's come all the way back. He is on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, in another Gentile area. This is where we find ourselves this morning. And we have to remember, Jesus is tired. He has every reason to rest. Everything I just mentioned has just happened a short time ago, and he has traveled a long way. And he has every reason just to have some me time. By what verse 29 tells us, that is what he seems to be planning on doing. He is just taking a nice stroll beside the Sea of Galilee, and he's heading up the mountain, and he sits down there, and here comes this massive crowd. I think one question that does come up is, how do all these people know that Jesus is here? I mean, I had that question reading through that. It's like kind of random. All of a sudden, all these people come up. In Mark's gospel, Mark has the same account of the feeding of the 4,000 what Matthew does. He adds a story between Jesus healing the daughter with a demon and the story of Jesus feeding the 4,000. This is what Mark says in Mark 7, 31 to 37. It says, "Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' I think. And that is, 'Be opened.' And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" It's interesting, he tells them not to tell no one, but they tell everyone. And therefore, I would think that's where this large crowd comes from. They must have followed him from wherever he was doing this to the mountain. And if I'm in Jesus' shoes, I'm probably trying to get to hide, first of all, or get rid of them somehow. But yet he has so much compassion on them, he just welcomes them into his presence. The passage of Scripture is split into two parts. The first part is about Jesus' healing power, and the second is about Jesus' compassion. I think, however, that they go hand in hand, and that Jesus is showing compassion when he heals all these people. And I think we will see three ways Jesus shows his compassion. The first example is he heals them. In Matthew 30:31, it says, "And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put him at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel." This is an incredible event. Jesus recognizes their need. He recognizes that there's a lot of people with issues, a lot of sickness, a lot of problems, and he heals them. And these are not minor ailments, like the common cold or a headache. It's not like he was just sitting up on the mountain handing out Buckley's mixture and cold FX. These are big-time issues, blindness, crippled, and lame, people that can't talk, and a variety of other sicknesses, and he heals them all. Just imagine what that must have looked like. People who can't walk or walking, people who may never before had been able to see, could now see, and they didn't do anything to deserve Jesus' healing power. All they did was come to him in faith and believe that he could heal them. What a picture. Thousands of people come up to Jesus as he's sitting on the grass and he heals them. It paints a picture in my mind of a grandfather just sitting in his chair and all his grandchildren come up to him and he just lavishes on them whatever he can. However, the difference is there is no reason Jesus should be doing this. There is no family connection. He's not indebted to them. He doesn't owe them anything. Plus, they're Gentiles. And we know they're Gentiles with the fact that he went to a Gentile region. We saw that last week in Matthew 15:21. It says, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon." And then from there, as I mentioned earlier, he makes a trek back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and now he's in the region of the Decapolis, which is also another Gentile area. We have to remember that Gentiles were considered much lower class than the Jews, and Jesus is a Jew. To put that in perspective, that is unbelievable. He has no connection to these people. These people are considered much lower class, and yet he has compassion and he heals them. Plus, on top of that, they're not even his main ministry. In Matthew 15:24, he tells his disciples that he came for the lost sheep of Israel. He gives the same mandate to the apostles when he sends them out in Matthew 10:5-6. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, 'Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel.'" Even though at the time the Gentiles were not his focus, he still extended his mercy and compassion to them. The next two examples of Jesus' compassion are both found in Matthew 15:32-38. It says, "Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.' And the disciples said to him, 'Where are we going to find enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great of a crowd?' And Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have?' They said, 7 and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children." The first example in this passage, or in this part of the passage, is that we see Jesus has compassion on the crowd. Verse 32 says, "Then Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint.'" Scripture tells us specifically that Jesus has compassion for the crowd. Even though he's already spent 3 days fixing a lot of illnesses and sicknesses, he still has more compassion for them. He's been healing them, and there's no mention that he's had any time to rest. And he tells the disciples that they are going to feed them because he is concerned for their welfare. There is no mention of him saying, well, they should have planned ahead and brought a bag lunch. Too bad for them. Or they should have been prepared if they were going to stay so long. No, Jesus looks at them and he has compassion on them. There is not even a discussion among him and the disciples what should happen. The Bible says he's unwilling to even to send them away hungry. He's going to feed them. And then he performs another miracle and feeds 4,000 men plus women and children with 7 loaves and a few small fish. And it says they all ate and were satisfied, and there were leftovers. Every time the more I read that passage, the more crazy that sounds. I know people that can eat 7 loaves of bread and 2 fish in a single sitting. You know, and it's just amazing. Talk about a crazy 3 days, massive amounts of healings, and a huge feast. Jesus goes above and beyond. It wasn't enough for Jesus just to heal them, but he also fed them. It shows that Jesus knows our need before we know what they are. And Jesus tells us this in Matthew 6:32. He says, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. The third example of compassion we see here is Jesus' compassion on his disciples. The disciples have had a long 3 days. They've been there the whole time. They've been there the whole week. However days they were, and they've been there doing whatever they were doing, and Jesus is healing these people, and you think that they were probably just exhausted and just ready to rest. So after all these people are healed, and they're probably thinking to themselves, good, now we're done here. We're going to go home, and it's been a good time. But hold on. Jesus says, we're going to feed them. And you can see it in their response that they're not too excited about this. Their response to him saying, we're going to feed them, is, where are we going to find enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? They realize they weren't just going to go to the local Safeway and get some groceries. And the new pizza delivery wasn't going to work. They were in a desolate place, meaning they're out in the wilderness somewhere. And then this is where we see Jesus' compassion on his disciples. And he responds to their question and he says, how many loaves you guys got? They say 7 loaves and a few small fish. And then Jesus takes that and he feeds the crowd. He doesn't say, guys, don't you just remember just a while back, we fed 5,000 men plus women and children with only 5 loaves and 2 fish? Why do you have so little faith? He doesn't say, why don't you understand what's going on here? He doesn't belittle or criticize them. He has compassion on them. And he just says, guys, let me feed them. You guys don't worry about it. I got this. He doesn't say to them, how many times do I have to do something miraculous for you to get it? Even though the disciples still didn't understand what Jesus was trying to get at, he still used them. So where do we go from here? How does this passage apply to us today? What can we learn from it? I mean, we're obviously a long way away from this, where this happened. This is a long time ago, and in a distant land. But I think there's three things that I would like to focus on. And there's more in there, but these are the three that I would like to focus on this morning. First, Jesus' healing power. What do we see here? We see that Jesus physically heals these people. He sees their need, and he heals them. They don't have to do anything to receive it. He just does it. Jesus can and does heal people physically today. Not all the time, but he does sometimes. However, I think what Jesus is far more concerned about is the welfare of our souls. It's not that he's not concerned about our physical well-being, but it's our souls that concern him the most. Jesus didn't die so that our failing bodies would be healed, even though that will be the case when we pass on into eternity. But if everyone who is a Christian here today didn't have any health issues, we know that's just not true. If that was the case, everyone would be healed. And we know that's just not the case. Many believers struggle with illness, be it cancer, broken limbs, heart issues, and a variety of other things. I'm not saying that we shouldn't ask God for physical healing. James 5:13-15 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one that is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." I think God is far more concerned about our souls. God is so concerned about our souls that in John 3:16-17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn but in order that the world might be saved through him." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. By his wounds you are healed." Isaiah 53:5 says this, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. By his wounds we are healed." This is especially for you if you're not a follower of Jesus. Jesus is inviting you to come to him so that he can begin to heal all the brokenness in your life, whatever it may be. And just as the people he healed physically, he is willing to heal your soul, even though you have nothing to give. Second, Jesus shows his compassion for the people above and beyond just healing them. He recognizes that they've been with him for 3 days and have not eaten anything, and that they are hungry, and he has compassion on them. Just imagine how that would have gone over in that time in history in Israel. The Jews thought that the world revolved around them and that everyone else was a second-class citizen. This would have caused controversy because they would say, "Well, why would you heal them? They're not important. The questions we have to ask ourselves is first, are we okay with who Jesus showed his compassion to? And do we show compassion to those people that Jesus would want us to show compassion to? In Matthew 25, 35 to 38, we get a picture of who our compassion should be directed to. It says this, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." These are very challenging verses. This is heavy stuff, because it goes against what our human nature wants to do. It's not easy to show compassion sometimes to certain individuals or situations. And often we find ourselves with thoughts like, well, I pay taxes. Let the government feed them. Or they did it to themselves by making bad life decisions. And now they just have to deal with it. Or whatever their circumstance might be. Or we might say, we hired a pastor to visit the sick or the new person in town. I don't have time for that. I'm too busy. I think it's very easy for us to have an attitude like this. I know for myself, it can be like that. It's sometimes hard. We're tired, and we just don't feel it. Especially on those people that we don't know. In conclusion, and the third point, is if we left it there, this could be super depressing. All we get out of it is that I have to be a better person and I'm failing at showing compassion. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know this is hard. And I think that's why it's so encouraging about how Jesus deals with his disciples when they don't have the same level of compassion as he does when he feeds all these people. Like I mentioned before, he doesn't criticize or belittle them. He just asks, "How much food you guys got?" Then he feeds the crowd. The story shows us that God will accomplish the things he has for us to do, no matter what our commitment level. When the task at hand seems too great, too difficult, too complex, he says, "Give me what you got, and we'll get this done." But what we see here in this passage is that we need Jesus to accomplish the things he has for us to do. Colossians 1:10-12 says this, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in knowledge, may he be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified for you to share in the inheritance of the late saints in light." Ephesians 2:10 says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As believers in Jesus Christ, we can take heart. Maybe we feel overwhelmed or burdened. I know often we feel that way, where it seems to be too much. And like the disciples in this story, we don't respond in an enthusiastic way when Jesus calls us to a task. And there's lots of tough ones. Maybe you have to go visit someone that you haven't visited for a long time. Maybe it means going to the doctor because something's not right. But I hope you're encouraged this morning that as a believer, you're a product of Jesus Christ. You're a new creation. And before he asks you to go tackle this or that, Jesus is already there. He's already working. And he just says, trust me. Let's pray.